this morning as I was getting ready, I realized, actually, as I was playing on stage too, I realized that, so Zeke was on stage, and Ruby's back in the back doing the slides, and Bethany is leading us in worship, and I was like, I think I'm just going to change my last name to DeBlay. So I'm now Nate DeBlay. I just want to be so much like Chris, but Chris is, I'm kind of hoping he's a little cold right now because they're out camping. Well, not like, I think they're in like a cabin or something like that. So a bunch of guys are up there. But we have a special conversation that we get to have today. I'm very excited about it. And so you guys noticed that I forced you guys to sing Spanish songs every once in a while. And so this is close to my heart as Rodrigo is going to come and have a conversation with us. So if Rodrigo, you want to come on up. Now, he came from a long way. It was like one office over from ours. So, and the thing is I don't. We left each other last night at 10 o'clock, and you left here at 11.
Yes.
So you really haven't been, and I got back here at like 6:45 this morning. So we haven't been gone from here that long.
Yep.
Anyway, I also feel like I really, because it's a conversation, I want to sit on a stool, but I guess we're going to stand up.
Yeah, we can sit.
But as we start a new series, we're going to go through and talk about differences and talk about things that surround us that maybe stretch us a little bit. So, you guys have heard me talk about one of the things that I really want to force myself to do and get better at is I want to be able to speak Spanish. I want not just know it, but I want to be able to talk with Rodrigo, and he doesn't have to worry about speaking English. Now, you speak amazing English, probably better than me, quite honestly. But I would love to be able to have that conversation with him. But we want the branch, to sort of hear some of Rodrigo's experiences and sort of him. It was funny as we were talking about this. I said, so don't feel any pressure that you represent every single Latino's thoughts and hearts to us. So from here on out, whatever you say, we think. So, not really. So we got a few questions we're going to go through that Rodrigo's going to answer for us. And hopefully I talk too much sometimes. And it usually rambles. So hopefully I won't talk too much. I'll just let you do the talking. Obviously we've worshiped with, if you don't know, Rodrigo is the pastor for CCGR, and I always get it messed up because in my head I hear the Spanish, but so that's Christian Community Church of Grand Rapids,
something like that,
at least in the English. If you don't know, which I think most of you do, but they meet here with us. They're roommates. They're our brother sister church. And there's also the Nepali-speaking church, which meets in the afternoon, which also shares the building with us. They're also another roommate, for just my term. We pass you in the hallway, and we've had services with you guys before. So what we want to know, though, is we want to know a little bit about you. Where are you from, and where are maybe some people who are part of CCGR from?
Yeah, well, thank you for having me here and the opportunity to share with you guys. And I'm originally from Germany, and I'm explaining. I'm from Mexico. I was born in Mexico, Mexicali, Mexico. For those who don't know where that is, we're close to Tijuana. And I moved to the United States when I was 19 years old. So it's been a long time. I'm 37 now. But in our congregation, we have people from different nations of Latin America and also the United States. So we have people from Mexico, we have people from Guatemala, we have people from Colombia, we have people from Argentina, we have people from the Dominican Republic, we have people from Puerto Rico, and then we have a family that is from Spain. So we have people from different parts of the world, and then we have people who were born here, the United States. First generation of immigrants, and then we also have the second generation of Latinos that are born here in the United States. So that's kind of like who our mix is of people at CCGR.
So how did, I mean, this seems like a silly question in my head as I'm saying it, but how do people come, like, how do the people find you? How do the people that, like, where's, you know, obviously they might see the, I don't know, there's not even newspapers online or something like that, but how is it, how does the connection happen?
A lot of the Hispanic people are more relational than anything else. So a lot of the people that come to our church is because there's got to be some type of connection, some type of relationship. When we first started, we don't do it as much as we like to do it, but we still do it. But we used to do a lot of street evangelism. So we would meet people on the streets and just greet them and get to know them. It's really easy in Grand Rapids because there's not tons of Hispanics. There's a few, but when you find them, Myers or something like that, simple, hola, ¿cómo estás? And then start having the conversation. So that's how we initially started. And then after that, that same people started inviting other people and their family and all of that. So that's kind of like how, you know, people are coming to CCJR.
So obviously you said they're from all over the world, people that are going to CCGR. There's some that are here, but obviously a lot of them are immigrants.
Yep.
So what's life like for the people that you know and some of the people that I know that are part of CCGR community here in Grand Rapids as immigrants? What's it like for them?
I was this morning, you know, our friend Facebook reminds you of memories. And show me a memory of 5 years ago. I was flying. Me and my family were flying back from Grand Rapids to Yuma, Arizona, because that was the first time that we came here and kind of explore Grand Rapids and the possibility of coming and to start the church and all of that. So I lived in Arizona for 9 years. I lived in California like for another 5 years. I don't remember, but. And then we moved to Grand Rapids. And I'll tell you my personal experience, and then I'll share some of the experiences of the people that we minister to. But when I came here to Grand Rapids, it was shocking for me to see the segregation, to see how one street makes a difference in Grand Rapids. So you live in this side of the street, you're cool. And if you don't live on the other side of the street, you're not as cool. And it was really, for us, really rare, really weird. Like, where are we? where do we come? And I think that's very true for the majority of our people. West Michigan, and please don't get offended if you're from West Michigan, but West Michigan, it's its own little culture bubble, we'll call it in a way.
I think we know that too.
Okay, so it's not something new. But I mean, it is true. I mean, I live in Arizona, I live in California, and it is not like here. It is different. I'm not saying there's not a lot of, you know, there's still racial tension and there's a lot of other things, but not as prominent as it is here, and it's very noticeable. Most of the Hispanic people tend to hide. We're really good at hiding. So go to work, go home, go out as we need to go out, but try not to be too out there, not too social. You would even see it when, you know, there's manifestations or demonstrations or protests. It's not a lot of Hispanics there. We try to be on the other side of hiding, and it's just because that's the reality of how the system around Grand Rapids is built. I know it's changing, and we're praying that it changes more, but that's the reality of how we feel. So it's hard to be an immigrant here in Grand Rapids, especially if you don't have the proper documentation, especially if you don't know the language. It adds some layers of difficulty. So, yeah.
So can you tell us that? That's obvious. That is something that's on the branch's heart, and it's kind of nice to be part of something. Well, you know, you and I have gotten to know each other, and it's kind of been nice to be sort of we're literally swimming upstream from this, and so I like that. But one of the things is the branch, you know, obviously we get to meet together every once in a while, and we're here together in the building, but I think I want to know, and I believe that the branch wants to know, what's CCGR's plans for 2018? Like, what does it look like? And I don't know what that would mean in terms of, obviously we're going to cooperate on a few things over the next year, but what do you guys hope to see happen in the next year for CCGR?
As a church, we launch, we call 52 Weeks with Jesus. And basically what we're trying to do is get to know Jesus more deeply. And so we're having daily devotionals that we send to people. And every Sunday, like this first series of the 52 weeks is knowing Jesus as the miracle maker. And so we're going to discover Jesus in a few different ways. One of the goals for CCGR is to help people grow in their faith, so they can find their maturity in faith. And the reason why we're doing this, the reason why we're focusing on this, is because around 7 out of 10 people who come to CCGR are new to the gospel. So they know almost nothing about what it means to come to church, what it means to be a Christian. They still have a lot of issues that they deal with at home, a lot of broken relationships, a lot of dysfunctional families. And when you add the dynamic of leaving your country and coming to a new country and starting to adjust to the whole country, something that is happening to a lot of our families, and this is something that we're trying to help them with, is that a lot of the kids, the young and teenagers, are growing on their own. So what I mean is that parents have two jobs, right? They work, they leave 5 in the morning, get home 3, and then they rest for a couple of hours, and they go work at 5, you know, get off work at 11. That's the reality of most of our people. And they do it for 6 days a week, even sometimes even 7 days a week. And it's just the reality of the type of work that they can find and the type of salary that they can get. So that creates this dynamic where kids are growing up on their own. And so that's why we're trying to find a way to help them navigate all of that. And helping them get to the point where they can grow in their spiritual walk with Jesus, so that they can better know how to balance everything that they're doing, and know that, you know, I know work is important, but there's some other things that in life that need some of the attention. So that's where we're trying to go this year. We're starting good. And we hope that this trend continues as we follow the rest of the year.
Since we're here, we're doing this together. We get to do ministry, and we get to love Jesus, and we get to, as a community of believers, we're doing this with you, and we're doing this with the Nepali Speaking Church. Tell us, from where you're sitting, what can you say, this is what I need from you. This is what I need from the branch. This is what we, as a community, these are the things that would bless us, that would allow you, for us to be able to walk humbly, do justly. Tell us some of those things. I mean, if there is anything specific, but give us one or two ideas that we as a community could do to help this journey with you guys.
First of all, we want to say thank you. You guys have been so hospitable and so welcoming, and we feel loved by you. And so I want to point that out. So we want to say thank you. You know, there's no instance where our people feel less, or that our people feel that they've been discriminated or seen wrong or anything like that. Never, never, never that has happened. So thank you so much for your willingness to open your ears and your willingness to open your eyes to something different. And I think that what we have here, it's unique. I I think I've said it in the past, what we're doing as a church is unique. There's not a lot of churches in the whole United States. There's not a lot of churches within the Reformed Church that are willing and able to share a building and still love each other, right? So I just want to point that out. So I want to say thank you. And on the other hand, I know sometimes I sound like a broken record repeating the same thing and saying the same thing. And maybe the young people say, like, broken record, what is that, right? Like a broken iPhone or something. something that I've mentioned in the past is that I continuously bring to the table is the idea of relationships. The best way that you can help us and that we can find common ground is making relationships. And to be honest, that's the only way. Yesterday, just to give you an example, we spent the day together, right?
Yeah.
From 2...
2 to 10.
To 10, 8 hours. And, you know, we had Ricky and we have Chris. We had a meal together. We were here working on something and...
We cut ourselves or we poked cut, ourselves.
Exactly. With, yeah. We did a lot of things.
Bleed, not a lot, but...
and those things are the things that change perspectives. Those are the things that really cultivate friendship and trust and a lot of other things. You know, I know sometimes it's uncomfortable to come to a service where you don't understand what they're saying, but I would invite you to show up. You know, not only with us, come with the Nepalese church. I've been to the Nepalese church and you're totally lost, right? Because it's a totally different, you know, language and culture, but you feel love, you feel welcome, and that's how those relationships starts to happen. So that when, you know, you advocate for someone, when you're calling your representative, when you're doing something like that, that it's totally appreciated. You have someone in mind. It's not just like a generic or general idea of, oh yes, I'm advocating for justice and I'm advocating for this, but okay, who do you know in your, who is in your surrounding that you are thinking about when you are doing that? So I think that's what makes a difference. That's what makes it a little bit more personal. And I'll tell you this story. On Wednesday, was it Wednesday or what day did we meet to...
It was one of these days.
And, you know, in the morning, I went with a friend of mine with his lawyer to translate for him. He's here legally. He has the proper documentation. But in the process, whoever was helping him in the process dropped the ball. And now he's in danger of being sent back to his country. There was nothing on his fault, nothing that he could have done differently. It's just that the system that is in place, it's broken. And so this guy, you know, he has a family, he has 2 kids that are going to school. You know, he's been here for 3 years. These kids, all they know is the, you know, the U.S. school. They never been to school in their original country. So I was with them translating. You know, and the lawyer was honest. He's like, you have 2/3 of a chance to stay here, but you have a 1/3 that you might need to go start making plans. So, you know, when you put a face to the situation, it makes it more real. And we need, I think a lot of our people would love to be able to share more, but unless there's trust, unless there's that sense of we're friends and you're not a threat, it's not going to happen. So that's what I would encourage you to do, if you can, if it's within your possibilities and within your willingness to do it. You know, show up, invite someone to eat at your house, or I mean, and something that I've heard from other people is like, why don't you guys do the same? Why don't you guys initiate that relationship? And that the truth of the matter is that most of our people are so concerned with so many other things that in the list of their priorities, it's not on the top of the list, right? When you have to struggle. And I'll tell you another story of someone who was driving because she had to drive to a doctor's appointment. She's pregnant. And she got detained by the police. She has no license. She's in the process. They already submitted their papers, but there's no way she can get a license in the mean point. So she gets detained by the police. Ask her, you know, I don't have license. I don't have anything. But I'm in the process. Write her a ticket and got to show in court. And so we talked to another lawyer. The lawyer says, you know, right now you have 50-50 chance of you show up to court and, you know, they might take you, even though she's in the process of getting her situation fixed. So just having those relationships, it's going to help you better understand what's going on. You know, you may hear it on the news. You may think that some of those stories are made up stories. They're not made up stories. You know, they're real stories. They have a real face. They have a real name. They have a real family. They have a real situation. And I mean, that's the reality that we live. And even I said it in the past, even those who have the proper documentation, you know, if you look darker or you look Hispanic, some people may think that you're here without the proper documentation. So get to know people. But it's gonna take some intentionality on your part. So I don't know if that helps or not.
No, it does. It does. I to share part of my story with this, like one of the things in my journey, in my faith journey, that I have always found to be true, is that you can read about it, you can talk about it with people that maybe agree or disagree with you, but you can do all the stuff to find out the information. But for me, the things that change my heart are relationships. So recognizing, this is a kind of a buzzword right now, and I'm going to say, and I think most of you, quite honestly, would be like, yep. But the privilege, the quite honestly, I have the fact that I don't have to worry about being deported, as you know, even as a white man in the United States who was born here, I don't even know what that's like. That's not even something I can dream about. Like what would all of a sudden if they're like, okay, Nate, you got pulled over, and your family's gonna stay here, but you're going back to a country that maybe you don't even know. And it's funny because one of the things that I struggle with is when it becomes this political thing, I feel really, it's a difficult thing because it becomes an argument. But if it's a personal thing, if it's a thing where I know Rodrigo, I know some of these people that deal with this, and I've talked to them about this stuff, and I ask them, and I know it's funny, I think about this, I ask Rodrigo stupid questions, or not dumb, or like, ignorant questions, not stupid, but ignorant questions, because I just don't know. And every once in a while, I'm like, I find myself going, I wonder what he thinks. Does he think I'm like and he doesn't, because I know he doesn't, he likes me. Does he think I'm like an idiot or something like that? But the only way I know the truth of this, the truth of the human beings, the truth of my brother, my sibling in Christ, and this is our family member, the people of CCGR and the Nepali-speaking community, they're our family. And it's interesting that we get caught up, and I'm not, this don't mistake what I'm saying as a guilt thing. We get caught up in our own lives because my kid has wrestling, my kid has band, my kid has school stuff, we have parent-teacher conferences, I work, you know, I have work long hours, all of that stuff. That's valid. But in order for me, personally, to step into a place where I can go, okay, God, I'm going to allow your spirit to work in my heart. It's not going to work. I mean, I can intellectually understand the issues, but until I can step next to, or maybe even a little bit into the shoes of somebody who doesn't have the same cultural experience, who doesn't have, quite honestly, the same experience in the same city that I live, it's really hard to realize and to find that compassion. And for me, that's the only way I can do it. There might be some other people that they can sort of hold it at a distance and study it and become compassionate about it. But for me, I need to know why I think this, or I need to see what it's like. And then when I hear stuff on the news or I hear people screaming and yelling about something, I go, that's not, you know, that's great. I support that. But the reality is that there are real human beings here. I'm a real human being, and we need the way that I can actually make an immediate impact is a relationship. And so I think it happens. I think people, you know, as the branch, specifically as a branch in CCGR, we I think we're more intentional about trying to build relationships, but I this is a little more challenge. I think if you want to choose to go to CCGR on a Sunday instead of here, go for it. I don't think, you know, I have this little dream in my head that we sort of become a little bit more of a mixed. Yeah, I mean, I don't know that's not the plan to play. Don't you know, go to Chris and say, like, he's got a plan to change the church. But I sort of hope that we as a community, and again, I think we started, and I think we're completely different than any other church that I know of, especially in this area. And I continue on to walk down this road. Is there anything else before we move on to have a meal together? Is there any other thing you want to put in our hearts and our heads?
I just want to say that when you build those relationships and when you try to get to know other people, you know, don't come with feeling pity or, you know, don't do that. Just try to be somebody's friend, as you would do with anybody else. Don't come and look like, oh, poor little person that is going through these difficult situations. I'm going to help him. Don't do that. You know, we're also a little bit tired of that. So don't do that. You know, just come and get to know people for who they are, regardless of they speak perfect English or not. Just, you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed of how generous and good people are.
It's okay to ask dumb questions every once in a while, right?
Yeah, you can. I mean, once you build the trust, ask whatever you want, right. You know, but don't come the first time and, hey, I'm going to ask you about this. And
Right. I know I asked dumb questions. I think it's...
So we have built the trust, right?
Right, yeah, no.
You can ask me whatever you want.
I'm okay when people laugh at me. I'm all right with that. I don't, but... all right, with that, we're going to actually have a meal together. And Rodrigo is actually going to lead us. Now, Rodrigo and I are going to serve it to all of you. But I'll let you take it from there if you're all right with that.
I love the Lord's table. I love having communion. And something that, you know, when we do it at our church and something we compare with family, right? When you go to a Hispanic house, especially like if you would go to my mom's house, there wouldn't even be a question if you want to eat or not. She would serve you food. No questions asked. And then when you're done with your plate, she will take it. She will not ask. She will bring you more. And there's no way you can say no. Like, she'll get offended if you say no. But it's just part of the culture. You know, everything happens around food. Relationships happen around food. And I love, you know, that the fact that Jesus served the table for us. You know, that Jesus is the one inviting us to come and eat from the table. And he's open arms, you know, saying anyone can come. Anyone can come and be participant of this meal. So today we want to invite you to be participant of this meal. No one is obligated to do it. It's an open invitation, but if you feel led to do it, I don't know how we're going to do it.
You'll take one side, I'll take the other.
There you go. See, that's that easy. So, and then there's a gluten-free option here. And do they have it in Spanish?
Yeah.
And usually we say this is the body of Christ or this is, you know, the blood of Christ. But today we want to do it a little bit differently. We want to do it in Spanish. How's that?
Just so you know.
So.
Okay.
There you go. El cuerpo de Cristo. You can just say el cuerpo de Cristo. You don't have to say the rest. Which is not wrong, but it's easier. You can say el cuerpo de Cristo and then la sangre de Cristo. If that's what you want to do. You don't have to do it like that. But
let's have them say it out loud together.
There you go. So say it with me. El cuerpo de Cristo. La sangre de Cristo. There you go. See, you're ready in Spanish.